I'm going to record on my local computer. Did it start? Did it give me a prompt?
Yes.
Oh, it already started. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This presentation is about the 5G SON use case, and my name is N.K. Shankar. I'm from AT&T, and we have prepared this presentation along with our key contributors, Krishna Murthy from Wipro, Sandeep Shah from IBM, and Swami. He was with Wipro. His contributions are all over this, and we used to present this jointly, and so his thoughts are very much part of this as well. I'm quickly checking the participants. Sandeep, I see you are here. Sandeep, if you could, oh, Krishna is also here. Great, super, thanks. Okay, so if for people who are new to this, it's called OOF SON officially because it uses OOF, ONAP Optimization Framework, to do the SON optimization for the use cases we have chosen. But it's really a 5G, it's like a framework for how do you use ONAP to do to do centralized, what is called centralized SON. And as I'll show you that we are very much thinking of this as an ONAP and ON jointly working in harmony. As Catherine said, we have a list of collaborators here, and we acknowledge all the great feedback. So the presenters are from AT&T, Wipro, and IBM, and a lot of the work when we, one other unique aspect of this use case is all the integration testing that we have done. We've chosen to use the Rutgers ONAP Wireless Lab, and High Street Technologies and Rutgers are all very closely involved in that. So, and I'll speak more about that as well. Okay. So let me jump in. This is a slide I've been using for several releases now, and some of the material is similar to what we presented in the architecture review. Oops, but everyone in this audience was not there, so I want to give you the big picture. The takeaways from this presentation is I want you all to know by the time the end you'll know that okay, for 5G SON, if you want to do it ONAP based, what is the state of the art and the consensus from all the people discussing in ONAP? How is it going to work? And then we focus on the key parts, the data flows between modules, and it is at the heart of it is actually a control loop. So we are focused on the control loop part, and we have not focused on the entire service orchestration part. Okay. So because this is where we believe the challenges are and the first problems to solve, the approach here is this is an open source platform, and anything we build, we'll have both vendor companies, operator companies, and third-party companies build on top of this, and it'll help the industry. So the view here shown here is we have the blue box ONAP and the orange box is an ORAN radio network. All of this can apply to any other standard, but we have chosen to focus on ORAN. And so we have something, analysis and optimization happening in ONAP, and we exercise control of nodes in the radio network, which in this case align with ORAN. And so we are true to their interfaces. So when you go to make a change shown here in this red arrow, it would be the ON interface. That's what we are focused on. You can take this and apply to A1 as well. And then when the feedback comes, we can have acknowledgements and also, any other information from the network is the O1 interface, which is, as per the standard, is converging, has converged on this West message stream, and that has to come into a West collector in DCAE. That's the ONAP way of doing things. So the modules in ONAP which are involved, there is, of course, DCAE, and I'll show you there's a microservice, there's a West collector, there's a database, there's a data exposure service, there's machine learning, and I'll touch upon all of that. There's a microservice which handles all this flow, and it invokes an optimization in the ONAP optimization framework, that's OOF. And policy plays a central role because everything goes through policy, because one big aspect of SON and control loops and coordination is if you need a central point to coordinate, and the ONAP way of doing things would be this control loop coordination would happen in policy. It wouldn't happen necessarily in orchestrator. And all the network actions have to go through a controller, and we have STNR, it's a variant of STNC. And so this, in some sense, many people think of this as the from the ORAN terminology, that is a non-RT, non-real-time RIC. And then you have, of course, the real-time RIC, which is inside ORAN. From our perspective, we only have an O1 interface going into something that is ORAN compliant. And so I will leave it, we can touch upon it later, but how all of this fits in, which part is non-real-time RIC, which part is SMO. We are also involved with the whole ONAP, ORAN harmonization. And so let me just focus for the rest of this presentation on, at the heart of it, if you want to do an ONAP control loop for SON, what would you do? So just think of that in that term. And we have been doing this over multiple releases. We started in Casablanca. We did a whole lot in Dublin and then in Yulin. So now we are here in Istanbul. And for this release and even the past one release, a big theme, and which is what will be the focus of this presentation, a big theme is how do we align with industry interfaces? How do we align with ORAN interfaces, ORAN 3GPP YANG models? The FM message, which is an alarm message, how do we align with that? It's an exercise in showing that we don't want to build something that is throwaway. We want to build something that is aligned with other interfaces. And so we have had long discussions and sometimes waiting for the right time. So in Istanbul, a big theme is that when we have RAN, which is a radio access network configuration data, how do we store that data in a way that is aligned with long-term ONAP architecture? And we have had demonstrations of PM KPI information and FM alarm information, and now we focused on, okay, now how do we take that FM information and make it ORAN aligned? And then change management, which is the configuration management updates, that's also a big theme. When you get a configuration management CM notification from the network, how do we handle it? So a big theme in Istanbul is this, which is how do we interact with the RAN network and how do we take that configuration data, how do we store it in the database, how do we know a way that is aligned with the future? And I'll talk about beyond release 9 later. And so the general outline is I'll give you an overview, and Sandeep will talk about some of the YANG modeling and the STNR work, and Krishna will talk about in DCIE for in ConfigDB, sorry, in CPSDB, we have a whole API mapping service called TBDMT. I'm giving a little sort of overview of the agenda. So this picture we have been using, I know it's busy with lots of circles, but I'll walk you through it and not dwell too much on it because this is what we had till release 8. What I want you to take away from this picture is everything. And most of this picture is all of this picture is part of an ONAP proof of concept demonstration. But the box on the right is a RAN network, and our way of simulating the RAN network is an excellent piece of work called the RAN simulator. It actually puts up 60 or 70 NetComm servers, and think of this as 60 or 70 5G DUs. And so it's an exercise in saying, how do we send configurations? How do we get back information from a RAN? And it's contributed, and everyone's welcome, and people are using it. And on the left, this is, we have the big blue box in the middle is DCAE. There is a SON handler microservice. There is a data exposure microservice. There's a West collector. There's a database. A lot of that is not changing for this release. And on the left is ONAP optimization framework. So data comes in, DCAE analyzes it, decides if optimization is needed. It does that. And all messages get placed on DMAP, and all the control loop messages are aligned with the way control loop messages should be for policy. Messages go to policy and then get forwarded to the controller STNR, and STNR makes a change. The thing I want you to notice here is till now, what happened is when we needed to keep configuration information about this RAN network, we kept it in something called ConfigDB, and that's going away. And when we got a configuration update from the network, till now in release 8 in Honolulu, things were not stabilized fast enough. And so for the proof of concept, we actually did a patch where this CM notify message would directly be placed on DMAP. And we're going to change that. So now here's the target for release 9. And if you see, if I flip back and forth, the config DB and the CM notify message. And if you look at that, the CM notify message is now coming through a WEF collector, and the config DB has blossomed into, now we're ready to work with CPS. This is the configuration and persistency service, not CDS. I think somebody said, I think it was issue. Somebody said it was CP and S. I believe we're just calling it CPS now. And we have, this use case had some legacy, and so we have to work with existing APIs. And so we have fleshed out a whole notion, and I think this will benefit the industry, which is how do we work with a database which has a configuration model and schema aligned with the network, and how do we also do mapping of APIs and have efficient queries? The answer is a mouthful. Think of it as a mapping, API mapping service. It maps existing APIs to appropriate expat queries. It's a mouthful, TBDMT, template-based data model transformation, and Krishna will tell you in detail about it. So release 9, just think of this as when we make a change, STNR makes a change to RAMSIM. It's all netconf-based, and any updates we get, whether it's change management CM, we could have neighbor lists changing. This whole use case here is, and I won't talk about it, we have talked about it before, the use cases we actually tackle are PCI, which is physical cell ID. There's a whole centralized PCI optimization use case, and centralized ANR, which is automated neighbor relations, and we've talked a lot about it. So we are not really changing those features now. So if these come to our team calls or on Fridays, we can talk more about the actual use case. Here I'm going to just focusing on the changes. So now if you do focus on those parts, let me just quickly touch what we did in previous releases is that we added machine learning-based functionality for SON. And the way that is done is there's a data exposure service, there's the microservice, there's a data lake. So we have articulated a particular flow as to how we bring machine learning into this picture. But that's, again, that was done earlier. And again, repeating, we are now going to really focus on this interaction with an ORAN compliant network. Any questions so far? I see something on the chat. No short of acronyms. Yep. I'm going to skip very quickly over this section. And in release 9, we did this in an architecture review. But just to give you a feel, we think ahead of all kinds of different things, the SON lifecycle management, how things will be orchestrated, what will be there in the service catalog. But we are not dwelling on that now. We are dwelling on this, on the top parts here, which is how do we align with ORAN and how do we use the CPS database, which is the target way of storing RAN information in ONAP. And so it is all about Yang models and CPS updates configuration changes, netconf configuration changes off RAMSIM, and how we get back FM alarm messages. So I'm going to skip these sides in terms of we have a very strong dependency on ORAN and CPS, and that affected us in the last release. We deferred some things, but this is the release where all that is happening. Okay, so now it was a long intro, but some of you might have needed it. So this is the meat of the presentation. We're going to talk about network configuration. We're talking about Yang models, configuration changes and notifications, and the CPS database, and the API mapping for the CPS database. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about now. Again, this picture, and I'm just looking a little bit ahead to the people who have been part of this discussion. We have some minor changes about how we talk about primary and secondary models. So there is something new. So again, this picture, but now I'm going to show you parts of this picture which are most relevant. Okay. So first, let me talk about the models. So here we have on the right was the RAN. Okay. And we have our RAN SIM, but a very important part of it has a Yang model. And now it is aligned with ORAN. So it has genome-based, it has cells, it has a near real-time RIC. But at the heart of it, as an interface, it accepts configuration changes in the step 11B, and it sends back information as REST messages in step 3A, 3D. Okay? And so, so now we start talking about Yang models. What has happened till now? We were always Yang compliant. But when we started this journey from release 5, 6, 7, 8, what happened was we did not have a ORAM aligned Yang model. And one quick message for everybody listening here is, this is an ongoing theme in ONAP. Oops. Especially people who are doing liaisons between between standards organizations, and some of you know this, but this is an ongoing theme that is we want to work with models which are coming from ORAM, and so, but we have licensing issues, so we can't take an ORAM model and upload it as part of an ONAP website because of licensing issues. And there are people working this, but if there are more people who are not aware of this issue, especially the TSC, this is an ongoing issue that how do we, for example, specifically, how do you work with an ORAN Yang model and use it for ONAP? And there might be members, people, companies are members in ONAP, but not members in ORAN. And so we have sidestepped this issue by people knowing things on both sides and extracting parts of models and using it. That's what, so we are working with this, but it is heavily constrained and it has affected things in the past. And it will affect things when changes come. How soon will we have the new model and how do we align to it? So everyone is doing the best by anticipating changes, but there are companies who might say, oh, I wish, can I see that model? And so sometimes we have this discussion, oh, we cannot actually update the model, cannot upload the model to an ONAP website. So, but from release 5 to 8, what happened was we used a broadband forum RAND model and it worked because we could work all the Yang-based methodologies. Why is this flipping back and forth? I don't know. And release 8, we were almost ready. And then because we had some legacy, one of the things we have done is we also work closely with another use case, which is the network slicing use case. And both Krishna and Sandeep are also involved in that. And all the decisions we have taken jointly with the CPS team have been the CPS team, the slicing use case, the SON use case. It's been one nice discussion. And we took a decision in release 8 saying, first, we said the very first use case for CPS would be SON use case, and then we switched to the slicing use case. And the main reason was the slicing use case does not come with legacy APIs, and the SON use case came with legacy APIs, and we had to work through that. So we collectively said, okay, let's work through the issues through the slicing use case in release 8, and we are building on it. So now for release 9, I can say I'm happy to say we have an ONAP Yang model, which is aligned with ORAN and 3GPP, and it meets the needs of the SON and slicing use cases. And the way things have fleshed out after all the discussions, it's actually pretty neat. It breaks into very cleanly into two models. There is a primary Yang model, and we call it the RAN network model. And there's a secondary model called the CPS RAN schema model. And so for people who have not heard this and you're new to this, this is one big takeaway that within ONAP, I think a decision was made that the RAN configuration, RAN information, radio network information and configuration will be stored in the CPS database. It will be Yang-based. And the query language is the XPath queries. That decision has been made. It was made, I think, last release. And so we worked through the issues of, if you take, for example, if you take a device model or a vendor model with base and extensions, that aligns with what is called the primary model. But then, especially when you work through a use case like SON, you realize, well, there is more information. From the operator's perspective, we need an operator network model. We need to augment the model. And so we're not talking about the vendor of the DUs and CUs augmenting the model. All that is still part of the primary model, okay? The secondary model would be data which is not in the primary model. And Sandeep will talk about it, but for example, if you have a region where you have lots of 5G CUs, that's not, we didn't find that in the ORAN model. We didn't find latitude and longitude of the DU. Maybe they'll get added, but when we found something not there, we put it in the secondary model. And then when we do APIs queries against the model, we believe for the sake of query efficiency, we need to derive some information and keep it, and might as well keep it as part of the Yang model instead of doing the multiple queries every time, we might cache in a consistent manner a whole list of neighbor cells, for example. And we believe this aligns with, in some sense, the perspective of the use case, the operator using SON or slicing. It's we try to really maintain a consistent view across use cases. Maybe others, other control loops, other SON use cases, which may or may not be ORAN, and the network slicing use case. So that's our has been our guiding principle. And so now we have primary and secondary model. We need to maintain consistency of data, and we really rely on the CPS team and discussions as a whole to make that happen. But our simple answer is we use TBDMT that can read and write to primary and secondary at the same time. I'm taking a little time dwelling on this because everything depends on this. Okay, so now if I take part of that picture, you have the ransom on the right, you have STNR in the middle, and you have CPS shown this box, and it's, these three boxes are, you know, green and red, and there's a reason it's colored like that. And we have DMAP, and we have our components in this SON use case, OS, the microservice, and this West collector. So let me talk about first, when we go to make a network configuration change, these numbers are consistent with our other numbers. They're not perfect, but it all starts with the microservice knows it needs to make a change. So the microservice would first say, okay, I need to consult my ONAP database, which is CPS. And we have legacy APIs. So it makes that call. And those APIs need mapping to XPath queries. We made a decision. We don't want every module to understand all the gory details of XPath queries for the CPS core database. And so this is an exercise in query mapping, template-based query mapping. And so when the microservice makes a call, it gets everything, whatever answer it wants from TBDMT. TBDMT exercises the primary and secondary XPath queries to the core database. So if you look at my Yang model chart here, the red stars is the primary model, red green stars is the secondary model. CPSDB is aware of both, but they are both Yang models. TBDMT is aware of both, but the RAN is aware only of the primary model by design. RAN doesn't know things that somebody added, which is ONAP specific. And so anything that is red, so the RAN simulator is fully covered red, and STNR and CPS are both red and green. They're aware of both. And the reason they're aware of both is if the microservice is not aware of the primary model, it doesn't know every detail of the netconf tree, and especially with legacy APIs, it'll send a message saying, you know, I need this neighbor, I need this PCI changed. And especially in the legacy APIs, we don't have every detail of the netconf of the Yang tree. And so we are leveraging legacy work, and all that is buried in this thing called OFPCI POC API. So when that message comes in, that exercises this directed graph, and STNR converts that to the Yang model in a netconf, sorry, the RAN Yang model in the netconf, edit config message that goes out will be something that the RAN sim understands. There is a big impact on RANSIM. RANSIM will also, in this release, change to the primary Yang model, which is ORAN-based. And so this was how we made a change, okay? And so the next picture is how do we get back information? Let me go back here. There will be a netconf acknowledgement. So STNR knows it made a change, and it knows it was a success, but we made a design decision. We need to know absolutely be sure. And I think the ORAN way is every notification of every change will come as a CM notification. So that'll come in this step. It'll go into a West collector, placed on DMAP, come back, and some module has to parse that message. And we, again, leveraging past work and doing it in a modular manner, STNR has a module which will process this West message, and it will update CPSDB, but again, it'll go through TBDMT. This is an exercise where we are making incremental changes to existing code. A big theme for release 9 is the CM notify message for the first time now is going to be fully ORAN aligned and is going to come into the West collector the way the proper theme. We tried to do this in release 8 and things were not ready. So it's going to happen in release 9. We're still working through some issues. I put here as a question mark TBD as to STNR knows the RAN Yang model. It knows some aspects of the secondary model, but mostly we said maybe it'll just exercise the current APIs and try to offload all the details of how primary and secondary models are handled should really be encapsulated into TB-DMT. And so we're working through these issues here. A quick word for some of our CPS colleagues, we have been part of all these discussions, is one recent change is, we used to present this as a primary model, but actually what's coming in is a legacy model. And Sandeep will talk about it. So we are not ready to switch in release 9. We still have to use, there are actually three Yang models. There's a primary and a secondary Yang model, which CPS understands. And there is an OFPCI POC, which is used to exercise the directed graph. I just thought I would mention that. So I showed you how an update is made. And if you notice on the left here, and if you are paying attention, this view in release 9 does not use what is called NCMP. There is a network config management proxy, because that we are assuming that may not be ready. So we are ready. This TB-DMT will directly access the CPS Core DB primary and secondary XPath queries, and it's ready to do that. And it's also being done in a way that it is ready to switch. Once NCMP is ready, it will become the owner of the primary Yang model information for the VanSim elements. And so, again, if I switch back and forth, TB-DMT, the way it's being done, and Krishna will talk about it, is less primary and secondary, both get and puts and current API XPath queries to Core DB. But it is being done in such a way that when NCMP is ready, the red path will go through NCMP. And we believe this is also a foundation for other use cases that might want to do things this way. There might be use cases that do not have TB-DMT. Everything is a primary model. But, or even with a primary model, there might be some query mapping. Or we really need a secondary. We believe many use cases will need a secondary model to add, augment the primary model. I have shown here is that once we start doing this, there is a burden of consistency. TB-DMT made one change through NCMP, one change through the Core DB, and then everything has to work properly, and both have to update at the same time. If one updates, the other doesn't update, we have a consistency problem. But hey, consistency is part of CPS. It's the very acronym. And so we are just assuming and trusting that we will nail this consistency problem, where the information in CPS Core DB is consistent with the network, and the primary and the secondary models will trees will also be consistent. We have to solve that, and that's the only way this is going to work. Okay, so any questions so far? Otherwise, I'm going to hand over to Sandeep and Krishna. Any questions overall with the whole concept? If not, Sandeep, do you want to share, or I'll just keep sharing and you can talk to it?
Yes, please keep sharing. I will just talk to it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Please go ahead.
So, thank you. Hello, everyone. This slide basically presents kind of the work that has been done in 3GPP release 16, 28.541, where they do specify Yang models, NRM models. The Orion community is working basically using this model to refine it further. And Orion also published their own models late last year, and they're continuously working on that. So if we move to the next slide, we had done here in the ONAP community is create a Yang model that is kind of aligned with both GPP and ORAN, but also just pick the portions that are essential to support both the SON and network slicing use cases. So this kind of not as is model from the ORAN community. We try to kind of stay aligned and directionally kind of aligned with the ORAN work, which again leverages 3GPP work. So in a way, we are kind of aligned. But as Shankar said, we are not surely using the ORAN Yang models as is in the ONAP community. Now, as you can see here, RAN network, and again, you know, there are some pieces that are missing in ORAN Yang models that we have to incorporate ourselves. So at a high level, again, this is the ORAN network view. RAN network has multiple, we can call them managed elements. So near-time break, so list them all the near-time breaks in ORAN network, then DU function, CP function, and CUP function. And then accordingly, the subtrees underneath them, mostly CUs, the sales, and the member relationships, and so forth. So we picked up the portions and kind of to meet our needs for our use cases. So move to next slide, Shankar. So this is again, as Shankar has been saying, we are using CPS to store the configuration data as a kind of a resource configuration data in the ONAP, and we use that data again. Various ONAP components can query that database to drive their own decisions and so forth. The primary configuration model, Yang model that you see on the left, is the one that I was just showing on the previous slide. Again, we are selecting the bare minimum portions that we need for our use cases. Now, this model usually is kind of a vendor provided model, where vendor kind of has a way of configuring the network and also having their own extensions. What on the right you see is a secondary kind of Yang model. Again, this is to support the CPS work. There are some relationships that are not readily available in the ORAN Yang model, such as, for example, you know, if you want to get a list of sales in a particular region or in a particular tracking area. These are the kind of things that are mostly maintained by the operator. So we, again, and to support some complex queries, you don't have to always go to configuration Yang model, the southbound, the one on the left, to do queries. You can leverage kind of similar model, but parallel model, secondary Yang model, to help with the complex queries. Again, because CPS team has decided to go with Yang models as a persistent storage and expert queries, this was the most optimal way of doing it, which is to provide some relationships as a secondary model to help those queries. Any questions here so far?
Just pointing out, you also added latitude and longitude, which we couldn't find, which is very important for topology.
Yes, that's correct. Some of the things that are, again, maybe ORAN has made some progress, but we picked up this model, maybe we reviewed these models late last year.
Yeah. Right. And just a comment, all this review is done in collaboration with the CPS team, with all and the ORAN alignment. And so all the people who know the ORAN models are all, they have all contributed to this. Everybody is aware of this whole way of moving forward. Yeah. So thanks, Sandeep. I'll move forward.
Yeah, next slide, please. And then that's the last slide for me. Again, this was the work that we had done in the for the SON use case, you know, starting long time ago. But now on the left, you see as a goal here for this release, we want to move to kind of ORAN, kind of Yang model aligned, the Yang model aligned with ORAN. The one that we were using before was a broadband forum Yang model. So the one on left you see is the southbound configuration. So essentially configuring all these different managed elements and PCI values, neighbor lists, and so forth. On the right, what you see is basically the northbound RPC or API model that is used by SDNR and to trigger specific DGs, directed graphs. The key takeaway here is really, you know, as again Shankar articulated, we have demonstrated the whole flow, and then essentially, you know, when the ORAN Yang models become available, or you know, any vendor or operator can use one app for this purpose, that they can best pick up those Yang models and leverage the whole kind of flow that was shown here. Thanks, Shankar. That's my kind of last slide, and if any questions, we can address.
Thank you, Sandeep. And so Sandeep has done a lot of work with the Yang models, selecting the Yang models, and all the discussion of how we separate primary and secondary. And like we know in all use cases, you know, people are volunteering spread and resources are spread thin. So we make incremental changes. So the fact that the northbound API is a different model, that can be changed. But we wanted to at least first, I think what's being clear in hindsight, I think the primary secondary concept of the RAN data, and then there's a there's a separate API mapping and query, so we have legacy to work with. So all the learnings we have, I'm sure, will come in handy later, because in the future there will be a legacy API, and there'll be something that has changed, and so we'll have to work through this constantly. So any questions so far? Or if not, we move to the next part. Krishna, I saw you.
Hi.
Krishna,
hi,
by the way, has been Krishna is, by the way, also PTL of OF. He's been an integration test lead for this project and previous releases, and so just want to acknowledge all the work he has done. Krishna, I colored your slide with green and red.
Okay.
Right. That's the only thing I did. Okay.
Yeah, okay, let me start. So if we look at the architecture, right, the microservice is going to fit within CPS currently. So both this NCMP and CPS core are the integral to CPS mainly. Okay, so if we take this microservice out of the picture, so all these consumers like OOF, SDNC, DCI, so all of them has to query the CPS directly, either through NCMP or CPS core. With the query will be an XPath query, basically. I think Shankar would have explained it in the previous slides. So the problem with directly executing those XPath queries, they are tightly coupled with the young model of the device. Okay, so that puts a dependency on all these consumers. So the consumer has, all these consumers have to be aware of the young model. And even if the young model changes, all those consumers have to be updated. Okay. So mainly this microservice is going to remove the dependency from the consumers, and they are going to facilitate storing those XPath queries in the form of templates. So, and also it will help these consumers to execute those XPath queries directly. Okay, so those are the two main functionality that this microservice is going to provide. Yeah. So can you go to the next slide, Shankar? So if you look at the supported functions, right, as I summarized in the architecture, so mainly it is going to facilitate storage of these XPath templates. So those XPath queries are going to be stored in the form of templates, and also with some other related information. So which young model this XPath query belongs to, and what is the type of query that it wants to execute into the CPS, whether it's an GET query or an EDIT query. So those informations also will be stored here. And also it provides an abstraction between the consumer and CPS in the form of execution. When we execute those XPath queries, right, this microservice is going to be in the middle, and it can also facilitate some of the output transformation. So let's say if for a particular XPath query, a certain output comes from CPS, and it has to aggregate some of the outputs and provide to the consumer, it can also do that. Okay, so that abstraction it provides. And also in the future releases, the third point which is mentioned here is not currently supported, but in the future, if there is a need where we need to execute multiple XPath queries for a single type of API, right? For example, OOF needs to get a particular information, but it can only be fetched from multiple models. So it can also be facilitated by this microservice with a single query. So that is another functionality that we are planning. Can you go to the next slide? So these are the REST APIs that are currently supported. The first set of APIs are nothing but CRUD APIs for storing the templates and fetching them and everything. And the second one is for executing those APIs against CPS. So once we execute the second one, execute API, it will fetch the template stored in the DB, and then it will start executing it against CPS. So if we move to the next slide, so I've given an example to explain how this particular microservice works. So let's take this young model as an example. So let's assume that this young model and the corresponding data is stored in the CPS DB. Okay, so this young model mainly provides the mapping between the coverage area to the coverage area tracking area list mainly. Okay. So let's assume that the consumer wants to get the tracking area list from the coverage area. So the XPath query is going to look something like this. Can you move to the next slide? So the XPath query is going to look something like this. So this XPath query is derived from that particular Young model. And then, so let's say that we need to get that all the tracking area list from the from this particular coverage area, Chennai. So this will be the XPath query. Okay. So instead of executing this directly from the consumer, so first we need to store this XPath template into the microservice. So if you go to the next slide, I would have shown how this will be stored within the TBDMT microservice database. So we'll have the template ID, which identifies this template, and also it will have the model. So the model represents the Young model on which this XPath query has to be executed. And the template is going to look something like this. So this template is derived from the query from the previous slide, but only that the inputs will be replaced with placeholders here. Okay, so the specific inputs will be coming from the consumers. Only that this table is going to store only the XPath templates. So those inputs will be applied and then it will be executed against CPS. Yeah. Can you go to the next slide? I will show the execute API. So the execute API is going to look like this for this example. So we'll execute this. We'll provide both the model of the model and also the template ID in the. So in the inputs, we'll be providing the inputs for the template, which will be replaced. So finally, this XPath query will be executed against the CPS database. Yeah. So this is how we'll abstract all the XPath related queries within this microservice. So the consumer, even if the Young model changes, the consumers doesn't have to change. We need to update only this microservice. So yeah, so that's it with the microservice. Can you go to the next slide, Shankar? I think it will be, yeah. So I will also explain the FM updates that we are planning for this particular release. So after this, I think Shankar will take over. So in this particular release, we are planning on updating the FM messages that we generate from the RAN network, also mainly from the RAN simulator. Okay, so mainly the FM message for this particular use case, we used to trigger the FM alarms mainly for the PCI collision and confusions. Okay, and for the handover metrics, we'll be using the PM alarms. So we are planning to, for this release, we are planning to align with the ORAN FM alarm format. Mainly on that front, mainly the changes that we are doing from what we used to do in the previous releases is that we are going to send separate alarm messages for each of these collision and confusions. So in previous releases, for a particular cell, if there are two collision and a single confusion, we'll be sending everything in a single message towards ONAP. Now all those collision and confusions are going to be separate alarm messages in order to align with the ORAN model. Yeah. And also, there is going to be an alarm off condition which will be sent from the RAN to the ONAP. So that is one another thing. So till now, what we used to do is, so once we do the PC optimization, so the ONAP is going to reconfigure the RAN on a best effort basis. So it doesn't care whether the change has been successfully applied or not. Now there will be an alarm off condition sent from the RAN towards ONAP, so which will let ONAP know that the particular reconfiguration has been done successfully. Yeah. So can you move to the next slide, Shankar? I'll show you the example here. So these are the, I think whatever's denoted in the dark bolded is the new field that we are introducing, mainly in the common event header. We are introducing the event category, which is going to indicate whether it's a PCI collision or confusion. And other things which we need to notice is the source name here will indicate the cell identifier. And also we'll have the timestamp also. We'll have the start timestamp, which will denote the start of the problem, and also the next one, the last epoch microseconds, will indicate the current timestamp where the fault has been generated. So in the fault fields, I think these are the existing fields. These are already present in the older messages. So in the alarm condition, we'll be specifying what the condition is, whether it's a collision or a confusion. And also in the event severity, we'll be specifying the critical. So if it's critical, this is going to be an FM message. So if it's normal, it's going to be alarm off. So as I was mentioning earlier, right, like there will be a feedback from RAN to ONAP.
No, I think Krishna's voice dropped off. I think he might have left the meeting. Can you hear me, Sandeep or Kenny? No, Krishna is here.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I don't hear Krishna.
Yeah. Krishna, are you there?
Yeah, looks like audio dropped for him.
Yeah, actually, he was almost done. That's the last slide. So if it's critical and then we decided we want an explicit FM alarm clear message, because otherwise we don't know when the loop ends. And so this is the way we would leverage. And actually, the suggestion was we would take these learnings and actually feed it back to ORAN and see if other people want to use something similar. But when you actually build and think about the loop, you start thinking about, okay, so how do you know which cell, and if there's a collision between one cell and another neighbor, where do you get the information about what happened? And so it is a transactional and atomic. So something happened, and then there is a database lookup, and the microservice then figures out what needs to be done. Okay, thank you. I'll touch upon beyond release 9. One thing that we talked a lot about, and it can't be done so quickly, is in this picture I had where we are getting a configuration change from the network and then we make an update. But what if the network Yang model itself changed? And there are two ways of thinking about it overall. One overarching theme in ONAP has always been, yeah, we'll have models of the network and it will be provisioned and STC will know it and it'll be loaded into ANAI and, things are known in advance. And then the other approach is the whole Yang-based, this whole discussion we have had for several releases about routers and ODL controllers and NetConf controllers, and then models change and you're queried, you get your model update directly from the device. So we have entered that space here, and I think the work has started, but it'll take some time, which is, yes, you had a Yang model, but the Yang model has been updated. We need to modify it. And who better else knows the device, the Yang network, the NetConf device knows that. So that can be retrieved directly by SDNR, SDNC. And you get the model discovery and feed that into NCMP or TBDMT or CPS. That it would be really nice to be able to solve this problem. The other alternative is every time a model changes, it goes back to the drawing board and you let STC know and ANI, and you let everybody know. But in this case, this is the heart of where the database and the modeling is. The data is kept for the model and we can directly get it into it. So this is future work. The other future work is, remember when I told you about the configuration change that was being made? So in this case, in step 10, when a configuration change needs to be done and SDNR sends the change, remember I told you that SDNR knows what is going to be changed. And so we have this, it's almost philosophical, which is if ONAP is going to make a change to the network, ONAP already knows the change that is going to happen. And of course, it'll get the confirmation when the actual notification comes, but there's information we are throwing away. And so there is this whole notion that when a controller is going to make a change, should it make an update to the CPS database? But in which case it's some kind of an early update or a pre-notification update. It's some kind of a cached information which will then need to be solidified when the real update comes, and all those things have not been fully worked out. But we acknowledge that there is a place for those kinds of discussions. And the timing between this pre-notification update and the actual notification from the network, it could be 100 milliseconds, it could be 1 second, it could be 4 seconds. It all depends. It depends on how everything else is set up. And so it depends on the use case, how important that is. And then we have to worry about race conditions and things like that. The other future things have a lot has to do with the SON functionality itself. So the SON is a control loop, and there is control loop coordination. Some work was already done. And there's more that can be done if you have multiple control loops and both want to take action on the same ransom element. How do you decide whether you defer one? So that we have, this discussion is ongoing. The other overall piece is there is SON coordination beyond control loop coordination. Even if you have two use cases, and SO, for example, might get involved, or policy might get involved, where how do you even decide whether you're going to activate, even before you activate a control loop, even before you decide I need to do optimization. We have talked about ways in which you can say, you can quickly check, should I even bother optimizing now, or should I wait till some other action is done and then CPS will be updated and then I will do my optimization. So there is a coordination when between two use cases which have decided to optimize, and there's a coordination that can happen before you optimize. And then there is the whole lifecycle management, which is how is it all going to work? How is the control loop defined? What about the SON service? What does SO do? The whole ONAP service approach. That, you know, we have basically not focused on. We believe that all can be added once we know what is the essential control loop we want to do. And we will keep working about synergy with the network slicing use cases, because it makes it real, and it helps us deal with how do you work two use cases, and that's when we come up with all these little details. For example, we have a primary and a secondary model. Do we need multiple secondary models? Can we make sure the primary model is the same? You know, those kinds of things. Yeah, that's pretty much what we had to present. Thank you for your attention, and we're ready for some time for questions if somebody wants to talk about any of this. Thank you. Are there any questions about any aspects of this? A lot of this material was presented earlier also. Yeah, Krishna said he can take questions at the end. Yeah. I would, if there are no specific questions, I would like basically to bring up this one topic for folks who may not be aware of it, that we have this ongoing issue that when something changes in ORAN and we want to be aligned to those models, we have licensing issues where the ORAN model cannot be easily and directly shared or incorporated into an ONAP use case. And we're talking about details about if you have a model, can you actually upload it to ONAP? Can someone do some work based on that model? Or do we have to somehow always say we are taking parts of the model and creating another version and things like that? So sometimes when we have been going through this, I often found some people saying, oh, I didn't realize there was this issue. So just since we have the forum, I'm just letting people know. And some of this is being worked with on Apple and harmonization. Those calls are on Wednesdays. And then they'll be ongoing, and we can bring back learnings from this to, say, ORAN SC or the non-real-time work in ORAN. So we need more such collaboration. And then when we do that, that's when it reveals some of these issues. I mean, for example, if we take this approach, suppose we say we've not even gotten to this point, but suppose we figure out there's a primary model and a secondary model, and after a whole lot of discussions, we found this is the secondary model, that it makes sense when we want to leverage an ORAN model. Now what happens? Is this an ONAP model? Can this be shared with an ORAN a non-real-time RIC discussion? No, we have not, I don't know. We rely on several other folks also for working through these issues, but I just wanted to raise it here. Thank you. I don't really have anything else. Okay. So, Kenny, I just wanted to ask, I think we need a short description for the summary, right? Event later?
Yeah, just summary page, just add a couple of quick notes. I've gone through and linked all of the pages back to the original, so that's done. But yeah, just a couple of notes there. Thank you so much for the session. Great information.
I'll stop recording now. Yeah.
And then you can go ahead and end the bridge since we're coming up to the break.